Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
We all need a little bit of radical self-care, and you should start today by listening to this entire episode with Coach Kate Burns.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Kate Burns. Kate is a holistic health and wellness coach who works with women dealing with exhaustion, fatigue, and burnout to help them feel vibrant and excited through nutritional education, emotional support, and radical acts of self-care. She believes that women's health is a feminist issue because society teaches women in particular that they need to care for everyone else before themselves. So Kate, first, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too, because so many of us are just exhausted. Now, before we get into the content here, do you have a meaningful passage you'd like to share with us?
I do. It's just a quick quote, but it's one that I always go back to, and I love it. So the quote is, "Self-care is not self-indulgence. It is self-respect." And I don't know the original source of this. I found it on gatewaywomen.com, and it's just like a Pinterest image that I've had on my Pinterest board for like years and years that I always go back to, because it's just, I think that hits the nail on the head when it comes to self-care, particularly for women, because, you know, so often as soon as women take a moment, or men to take a moment out for themselves to, you know, take a break or to relax a little bit, it feels very indulgent. And there's a lot of guilt that comes up around that. But I love this because it's just that it's not self-indulgence, it's self-respect. It's taking care of yourself. And you need to do those things in order to carry on with the other parts of your life in a meaningful way.
You know, Kate, I can't help but envision you, let's say when you were in elementary school, like you were probably the girl on the playground who was protecting all of her friends.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was totally me.
I can see
the one, like, shy little me. I was like so nervous, but I was like always the one standing up for the kids being bullied.
I don't know why. I just totally got that vibe from you.
That's so funny.
Because I'm wondering, you know, I mean, you are younger, which I think is so great that you have such a purpose already, and that you're putting that, not that I'm saying you're so young, but you know, I'm getting older. So to me, you're younger. And I don't know if I would have had that same wherewithal at your age, is what I'm saying. So I'm sitting here wondering, where did this begin? And I felt like, oh, she's always been like this.
Yeah, it's so interesting because it's something I think about a lot, is like, where, how did I even come to this? Because my background actually is in art and design, which is like, feels very unrelated, but in my head, it kind of makes sense that it's all the same thing. And, you know, what I had been doing in school was actually a lot of community-based art and social justice work. And in particular, I had been working with an after-school art program that continued into my, I served with AmeriCorps for a couple years after I graduated from college. And I was working with a nonprofit art center, and it was great because we were really using art as a healing tool. And, you know, it was like, it helps you just kind of deal with the emotional stuff that was going on, especially the neighborhood that I was in was a very underserved neighborhood in Baltimore City. And, you know, the kids got so much out of the art making. And I think that it really opened my eyes. I think it was just like another stepping stone to opening my eyes about this type of work, was like seeing that, you know, like we were starting to take care of the emotional side of these kids, but the physical side wasn't always being taken care of. You know, one story I always refer back to that's so fascinating to me is I had one girl who was a freshman in high school at the time, and she was super sweet, really smart. And she was failing all of her classes. And we were like, all right, well, we're going to hook you up with a tutor from Johns Hopkins. It's going to be great. You know, like we were super excited about it. And by the time the tutor got there in the afternoon, she like couldn't focus on anything. She was so frustrated. She couldn't get anything done. And it wasn't until I asked her about her food and her nutrition that I realized what the situation was. So here was a girl, and this is a really common story for a lot of kids, but she wouldn't eat breakfast in the morning because, you know, it was early. She was trying to get to school on time. Her mom would give her money to eat the school lunch, but the school lunch was kind of gross and she didn't like it. So she would hold on to that money. And after school, she would go to the corner store on the way home and get what in Baltimore City we called a chicken box, which is literally just a box full of fried chicken and french fries, usually covered in ketchup and or hot sauce. So she'd bring that over to the art center and eat that. And, you know, by this time, it's like maybe 3:30 in the afternoon. So it's the first time she's eating. And this, you know, she's eating this like very heavy, greasy food. So by the time the tutor got there around like, you know, maybe 5 o'clock, she would just crash so hard that she couldn't focus on anything. So it just made so much sense, right? Where you think about like, here's this kid who's like not eating anything until she gets home from school. She probably can't focus while she's in school because of that. And, you know, by the time she had any help after school, she was just so done because her blood sugar had just like risen and crashed so quickly. And the thing that was just so striking to me was like, this is not an uncommon story, right? Like even for adults, like this is so often what we do to ourselves. And it can be such a simple shift that really creates shifts in other areas of our lives, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. First of all, I taught freshmen, so I totally understand what you're saying. And you know, something that's really interesting too is that you served for AmeriCorps. And one of the freshmen I taught, I interviewed recently because she went to school for teaching and decided to serve. She's serving right now for her, I think she's in her second year at AmeriCorps right now. And matter of fact, AmeriCorps is such a fan of Motivate Me and our interviews that they require each of their applicants to listen to the show now.
Are you serious?
Yes, to listen to her episode on our show.
Wow.
Yes, isn't that great? I consider that really such a great honor.
That's so cool.
And, you know, something else that you talked about, though, saying in your mind, art and working with people in a way that you're working with people now relates. I absolutely see the connection there because, to me, everything you just talked about that you've done in your life is humanitarian. It's all the way you utilized art, the way you work with the kids, the way you work with women now. It's all a humanitarian kind of emotional right brain effort, you know? So I totally see that connection. And something that I believe is that our purpose here is not a role that we play. It's a feeling that we get.
Mm.
And in every role that you've played here, I hear this feeling that you get. Does that make sense?
That's so true. I love that idea that it's not a role, it's a feeling. And that's exactly it when I think about that because you know, I think it can sound very different to different people, you know, that you're like, oh, well, you went to school for art, but now you're doing health. And it's like, well, no, but it feels the same in my head, you know, like it's all related somehow to me. But you're exactly right. That's exactly it.
Well, and especially how you were using art. I mean, you know, my daughter was an art therapist for a while.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So I get it. I see those connections. I think it's great. Okay. So today you are going to talk to us about which skills specifically, because it's Thursday, and on Thursday, we teach listeners a lesson on how to incorporate a passion into their life because, you know, we get held back by things. And your example with the student who basically her nutrition and how she's going about not eating all day and then eating something so full of carbs later and fat and grease and all that good stuff and how you crash from it. If people are in bad habits, if they have these bad habits, or if they're, you know, they have a lot of exhaustion going on, then they're not going to be apt to move forward in something that could really make their life more meaningful. So what are you going to talk to us about today?
So today, the overarching like broad term is radical self-care is what I teach. And we're going to break that down into three sections. The first of which being cheap and easy ways to treat yourself. The second is about stress reduction. And then we're going to talk about nutrition as well, because properly fueling your body is a form of self-care in my eyes.
And if we say, why are these skills important? You would tell us.
They're definitely, I feel like the main reason it's so important is because it's so often forgotten about in our, you know, our lives are so busy. We're constantly go, go, go on the move. How many, you know, to-do lists that are like the size of the wall, like just nonstop. And it's so easy to forget that, like, this is a thing we can and should be doing. But also because, you know, like we talked about the guilt factor again, and I think that this is something I constantly come back to, is that you shouldn't feel guilty for incorporating self-care into your life. And in fact, it should be like a necessity, right?
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I think that it's super important to add that stuff in wherever you can.
Okay, so today now, floor is yours, Thursday lesson.
All right, so we're going to start off with the cheap and easy ways to treat yourself, because I think that's super important. And especially, you know, so often when you think of self-care, some of the first things that come to mind are like, oh, book a massage or take a vacation. And those things are awesome. And if you can do that, you totally should. But the reality is that for most of us, that's not always financially an option, right? So I love talking about inexpensive or totally free methods of self-care. So just a couple ideas to get you started. The first one is Epsom salt baths, which are so, so lovely and so easy to do. Take half a cup of Epsom salt and half a cup of baking soda. Throw that in the bathtub. If you have any essential oils, you can add a couple of those in, especially if you have like some lavender, or I like to use orange essential oil. It's really nice, especially like in the winter when it's kind of cold and gloomy. And what's so great about Epsom salt is that when it's mixed with a baking soda, it does have a detoxifying effect on the body, but it also, Epsom salt's mostly made of magnesium. Magnesium is very easily absorbed through your skin, and most of us are actually magnesium deficient, which is easy to do because, like, who's thinking about magnesium on a day-to-day basis? When you're magnesium deficient, it can be, it can feel like you're a little more prone to anxiety, or you might feel a little panicky, or you might have trouble sleeping, potentially might have headaches. So these are all things that if you feel like you experience, adding more magnesium in your diet can be helpful. And you can also do that through the Epsom salt bath, also just because it feels nice to do.
I do have a bag of Epsom salt with lavender in it that I have not used yet.
Oh, that's perfect. You should totally do that. Okay. And you know what, too? If you don't have a bathtub, because that's, you know, if you live in an apartment or whatever, you don't always have a bathtub, you can do this also as a foot soak. It does the same thing. It does like has all the great benefits for you, and you'll still absorb the magnesium that way. So another option.
Okay.
Another resource I love to tell people about is Hay House Radio. I don't know if you've ever listened to this before, Lynette, but it's so lovely. It's on, I think the website is actually just hayhouseradio.com. And Hay House is the publishing company that was started by Louise Hay, who's written so many books, most notably You Can Heal Your Life. And the radio is awesome. It's a variety of different shows. You know, some are definitely more like woo-woo than others. So if that's not your style, there's still something for you in there. Some are about nutrition. There are some just about spirituality, some about just, you know, like what we're talking about right now, self-care. And it's just such a like calming, lovely thing to listen to, especially if you're feeling a little bit stressed out. So, you know, if you're looking for something to listen to while you're doing your Epsom salt soak, like Hay House Radio is great.
I had to call Hay House and they had a recording on their phone while I was on mute. Mm-hmm. I was like, please don't answer right now. Please don't answer right now.
It's awesome. I love that. It's like everything on it is just, it makes you feel good. You know, it's like all about just making you feel good. Another resource I do love to tell my clients about as well is community acupuncture, which, full disclosure, I used to work for a community acupuncture clinic. So I'm like a total convert. Typically, when you're getting acupuncture, it's one-on-one, you with the acupuncturist in a room. Because of that, it can get a little bit expensive. So it's, you know, if you don't have acupuncture benefits on your insurance, it can not always be within reach financially for everyone. But if you can find a community acupuncture clinic near you, this is a great option to take the cost down. So what happens in a community acupuncture clinic is there is a room with, you know, maybe 6 to 10 chairs. And usually they're like reclining, really comfortable. And the acupuncturist comes around, quietly talks about whatever you have going on and what you want to work on. You get your needles, you get to rest, and then while you're resting, they go and help someone else. So it totally, it takes the cost down a huge amount. So
wow, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I've seen clinics charge anywhere from $15 to $45. Some do like a sliding scale, some have just a flat fee, but it's great. And you get, you know, you get the same benefits as a one-on-one clinic, and you know, you get your care in a much cheaper way. So if you want to find a clinic near you, you can obviously just Google community acupuncture near you. A great website to use is POCA Co-op. So that's POCACOOP. And that is, POCA stands for the People's Organization of Community Acupuncture, I believe. But yeah, I love it. I am a huge fan of community acupuncture. Another option too to think about when you're thinking about like cheap and easy ways to incorporate self-care is a lot of different either, you know, spas or salons or even, you know, yoga studios or acupuncture clinics will offer like volunteer programs in exchange for services. So it's just something to be mindful of and to think about. Like if you really love yoga, but you feel like you maybe can't afford to be going as frequently as you like, it's worth asking if they do any sort of volunteer bartering situation so that, you know, maybe it's that you work at the desk for a couple hours and then you get a couple free classes in exchange. So it's, you know, not every place will do it, but it is always worth asking either, you know, at a yoga studio, at an acupuncture clinic, sometimes a massage place will do it. So it's just another way to like, you know, get in there for your care. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about with cheap and easy ways to treat yourself is there's a website that I love for guided meditations. And I mean, there's a ton of them you can find all over YouTube and whatever else. But one that I really like actually came out of the UCLA's Center for Mindful Awareness. So the website for that is marc.ucla.edu. And they have a whole list there of free audio that's all just like really lovely, quiet, guided meditations. Because I feel like meditation can be a little bit overwhelming for people or intimidating more so. Just because it's like, you know, it's hard to know like, am I doing this right? You know, you hear about all the benefits of meditation and how great it is because it's free to meditate. You know, you can meditate anywhere, anytime. But I think a lot of times you sit there, you're sitting there quietly on the floor, cross-legged, and you're like, am I doing this right? Like, I'm still having all these thoughts. Like, is this even working? Such a great way to get started with that is to actually have the guided audio in the background so that you know what you should be doing. So any sort of free guided meditation, I think, is a great one. But that's a resource that I love to recommend to folks.
I'm in love with Deepak Chopra and Oprah's guided meditation. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, that one's so good too. I love that. So next we're going to talk about stress reduction, which is super important, obviously, for so many reasons. But I feel like we're a really stressed out society in general when you think about, you know, our country, but also, you know, Lynette and I are both here on the East Coast, and I think that it's a very like stressful place to be sometimes. It's very fast paced. There's always something going on, and, you know, work can be stressful no matter where you are. You know, so I think that incorporating stress reduction techniques into your daily life is going to be helpful no matter what. So the first thing I always let my clients know is to just be mindful of the stimulants that you're actually consuming and make sure that they're on the lower side if you do have a stressful event coming up, which sounds counterintuitive because, you know, you think like, I have this big work project, I need a little extra coffee or I need that Red Bull or whatever it is. But that can actually kind of amp you up a little too much. And then, you know, for many of us, it brings us into that like panicky kind of state of mind that makes it hard to get anything done. So be mindful of how many stimulants you're kind of adding into your diet when you do have a stressful thing coming up. So, you know, coffee, alcohol, sugar, caffeine, chocolate, all those kinds of things, just something to be mindful of. My favorite stress reduction technique, though, is called the 4-7-8 breath. And this is a technique that I actually found out about through Dr. Andrew Weil, and it's super easy to do. I actually could do a walkthrough right now. Do you think that's a good idea? Just to like have everyone do it with us, whoever's listening?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Okay, cool. So what you want to do is, you know, wherever you're, especially, you know, I mean, don't do this if you're driving maybe, but otherwise you can just sit with both feet flat on the floor and just sit up kind of straight, you know, not overly extending your back or anything. And what you're going to do is breathe in for 4 counts, hold for 7, and breathe out for 8 counts. So I will go ahead and count it off, and then you can do it with me so you can give it a try. All right. So we're going to breathe in, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
How many times do I need to do that?
So I like to do it. I like to do it anywhere between like 3 to 5 times, depending on how stressed out I am. If you're like feeling really like you know, if you have like panic attacks or anything like that, like I would do it as many times as you need. But they say 2 to 3 times will help to reset your parasympathetic nervous system, let you kind of get out of that like flight or fright mode and just, you know, that it's everything's okay. Like you're not in immediate danger, like just helps you take it down a notch. So I love that technique, especially too, if you have trouble sleeping. I use this all the time to help me fall asleep.
That's a good idea too.
So other forms of stress reduction, obviously movement's going to be a big one. Making sure that if you do have those like really stressful times, if you have like a really busy week at work or, you know, whatever it is, to make sure that you are keeping up with your movement, whatever that is. So if you love to go to yoga, if you like to run, even if it's just a walk around the block once a day or once every other day, just making sure that you're keeping that up, because that can just, when you're not moving your body enough, it can really just store so much of that like nervous energy. And, you know, it's just such an easy way to get it out a little bit, is making sure you're getting your movement in, whatever type of movement feels good for you. We did talk a little bit about meditation already, and I will mention also another resource that I love for meditation is the Calm app, C-A-L-M. And I believe it's free, but it's another really lovely like guided meditation situation. And it's so cute. Like when you open the app, there are all these different nature backgrounds you can choose. It could be like a beach and you hear the waves, or like, you know, it's the forest and you hear the wind through the trees or whatever it is. But it's so nice. And I love using that too when it's like a really stressful time. Another thing that I love to do for stress reduction is to use lavender essential oil, which can be used in a ton of different ways. One of which I do a lot when I'm teaching a radical self-care workshop is I'll actually make a lavender pillow spray with the folks that I'm working with, which I'll share with you right now. It's super easy to make. You just need a little spray bottle, any size, but I usually use the 1 ounce bottles when I'm working with folks. And you want to do, I would say about a quarter of the way up with any type of rubbing alcohol. And the reason you do that is it helps to disperse the oil a little more evenly throughout the bottle, so it doesn't just sit on top. So you do a quarter of the bottle with rubbing alcohol, the rest of it with water. And then depending on how strongly you want the spray to be, you could add anywhere from like 5 to 10 drops of lavender essential oil. And then you just close it up and shake it up. And then you have a really lovely linen spray that you can spray on your pillows before you go to bed. You can carry it with you. So if you feel like you're getting a little anxious or stressed out, you can spray it, you know, in your office or wherever you're going in your car. It's really nice just to like help, again, like take it down a notch and to, you know, just ease your mind a little bit.
You know, I never know what to do with the oils. Yeah. I don't have any because I don't know what to do with them, but I do love lavender. Matter of fact, the candle that's burning in here right now is a vanilla lavender candle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so I'm going to do that. And I'm definitely going to put a spray bottle in my car because I would enjoy that there.
Yeah, right? It's so nice. And especially you can do that same technique with any essential oil that you like. So like if you want one that like is a little more like energizing, you want one to wake you up a little bit, you could do like peppermint, or you could do that orange essential oil if you want just more of a like uplifting kind of feeling. But man, the lavender is so great. And I love doing that in a workshop because then the whole room smells like lavender by the end of it. And like everyone's totally like blissed out and like it's so nice.
You know, when you're talking about stress here, I'm such a believer that, and this takes practice, and these techniques and tools that you're giving everybody can really help them in this direction too, is to try and, you know, get used to realizing that your stress, not saying that you don't have challenges and obstacles and things like that, but stress is your perspective. Mm-hmm. It's your thoughts. It's your beliefs. And we are in control of them. So something I focus on when I start feeling stressed out, and I used to be somebody be like, oh my gosh, it's stress. I'm so stressed out. Like that used to be me until I realized, well, wait a second. What is stress? What is worry? What is fear? These are all things that we create. It's our perspective on it. Mm-hmm. So what I really try to do is say, I'm not stressed. I am frustrated with whatever the challenge is, or, you know, whatever my workload is, or whatever, you know, that somebody else has done.
But I had to emotionally detach from those things so that I am not allowing what we call stress to physically impact me. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And what you said about stimulants is great because, see, stimulants, which, trust me, I love a nice cup of coffee. I'm not somebody saying don't drink caffeine or do those things, but stimulants do change your physical makeup so that it makes it more difficult to, I think, kind of keep control of your thoughts and your perspectives because of your physical anxiety. That's mm-hmm. different.
Yeah, totally. The interesting thing about stress, too, is that it can feel very addictive in a weird way, which sounds like counterintuitive, right? Because it's like, who wants to be addicted to stress? Stress sucks, you know? But it can feel, I don't know if you've experienced this as well, but I know that there was definitely a period of my life where I felt like if I wasn't stressed out about something, it meant in my head that like I didn't care about it enough.
Exactly.
Which is not true. That's right. So not true. Yeah. And it's so hard to break that habit of like, I can care a lot about this thing without it like physically messing with me and without like feeling panicky about it.
And I think too that some people feel like if they're not under what they call stress, if they're not overworked, if they're not doing too much, like you talk about, you know, with the exhaustion and the fatigue, that then, you know, oh, I must not be a good enough mom mm-hmm. because I'm not tired enough, because I'm not giving of myself enough, because I should stay up until, you know, whatever time doing the Easter baskets and doing the food for everybody and doing the like, and if I'm not, then that means I don't care enough and I'm not a good enough mom.
Yeah. It's so easy to fall into that. And it's, you know, it's definitely difficult to break yourself out of that habit too. So I think that's like a huge practice in this. And another thing that I do tell folks, if you experience chronic anxiety or if you are frequently stressed out, when you have a couple minutes to yourself, like maybe not while you're at work or in the middle of something crazy, but when you have a few minutes to yourself, you know, to really allow yourself to sit with that anxiety for a few minutes and just allow yourself to feel it and see whatever comes up. You know, you might need to cry, you might need to scream into a pillow, you might need to beat that pillow, whatever it is, but like let it just kind of come up. Because part of the problem is that when we feel stressed out, we also push it down, right? Because we're like, oh, I'll deal with you later. I have stuff to do right now. So it's like kind of stays trapped in our bodies. So when you let it come up a little bit, the technique that I like to use is to actually ask yourself why over and over, right? So like say I'm nervous right now and I'd say like, all right, Kate, why are you nervous? And I'd be like, well, I'm doing this podcast and I'm kind of nervous about it. And it's like, all right, well, why does that make you nervous? Well, I feel nervous because I'm worried that I'm going to sound really dumb. It's like, well, why are you worried about sounding dumb? I'm afraid to sound dumb because I want people to like me. And it's like, well, why are you worried about people liking you? And like taking it like further and further and further. And like finally you kind of arrive at a thing that like usually what it gets down to for me 90% of the time is that like I want to be loved and accepted, right? And like once you like realize that like it's not the podcast that I'm nervous about, it's the like wanting to feel loved and accepted thing. And like once you get to that, you're like, oh, okay, I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like you realize that like this thing that I'm doing is not actually that nerve-wracking. It's that it's this like core belief that I'm like concerned about, you know?
And here's the best part though. And this is why stress is all in your head. You can't control that. It always boils down to things that you can't control, because if you could control it, you would, and then it wouldn't be stressing you out.
That's so true.
You know, and that's the thing. That's why there shouldn't be any stress. Do you do what you can do. You are enough. And whatever anybody else thinks about you or any other situation that's going on, right? No matter what the situation is, you realize that you had no control. And it's typically in what you're talking about, it's about them. It's yeah. not about you. And you know that. But other situations, you ever notice when you get so busy and so exhausted and somebody comes to you with something and you typically would be able to help them with it or take care of it or make it better, but you just can't, you just physically aren't there to do it, or you just physically can't do it for them at that time. Mm-hmm. And the reality is it gets solved. It gets solved without you. And that's what we need to remember, I feel, is let go, because everything is not your problem. It gets solved without you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That like you don't have to take the weight of the world on your shoulders. And it feels like you have to so often, you know, like for women in particular, it's like just that, like, you have to be worrying about everyone else around you. You have to do all this stuff. You got to work. You have the kids. You have whatever. You know, like you said, like the food, the Easter baskets, like all these things that like just weigh on you. And it's like, you know, once you can break yourself out of that habit of like feeling like you need to be stressed out about these things, it's just it makes everything so much easier, you know?
Yes. So, okay, next.
Next, we're going to talk a little bit about nutrition, because I think that nutrition is the ultimate form of self-care, because when you're fueling your body in the right way, it's going to make a world of a difference in the way that you feel emotionally. So the one thing that I will start off with that I think is really important to remember when it comes to nutrition is that no one body is the same, which is sort of a radical idea in itself, because, you know, there are these general dietary recommendations that we get from the government, from, you know, different books and whatever else. And the reality of it is that what my perfect diet is not going to be your perfect diet. That like what works really well for you might make me feel like garbage, you know, like it might like make me feel really fatigued or exhausted or whatever. But it might make you feel great. So it's the most important thing I'll say about it is to make sure that you take all the nutrition information you receive with a grain of salt and be open to experimenting with your food. One of the ways that I love to do this is to use a food and mood journal. And it's super easy to, you know, you can download one or, you know, buy one or print one yourself or whatever, or you could just jot it down in a blank notebook. And all you have to do, the biggest thing, is to write down what you ate that day and how you felt. Because for so many of us, you know, we may have little underlying allergies or intolerances that we're not aware of, or we might just have certain foods that make us feel certain ways. And it's not until you know that, then you can really know what your ideal diet is. So for me, for example, when I started food and mood journaling, I realized that for me, anytime I drink alcohol, typically 2 days later, I feel really anxious. And it's like clockwork, like on the dot. Like it's not the next day, it's the day after that I feel really extra panicky. I couldn't figure out what was going on until I did my food and mood journal for a couple weeks, and I looked back and I said, oh, okay, so Saturday night I'm drinking with my friends. Monday night into Tuesday, I start to get really panicky. And it was just so eye-opening. And not that it necessarily like stops me from drinking all the time, but it does help me to know that like, okay, if I eat or drink this thing, this consequence is going to happen for me. And it's just really helpful to know about yourself. Does that make sense?
Totally. Food and mood journal. I like that.
Yeah. And I can send you the link to this. I do have a food and mood journal download on my website that's free to download. It's a week at a time. And you can just print it off as many times as you want just to get started and see if certain things are becoming triggers for you.
Definitely send me that and I will include that in the show notes.
Cool. So nutrition can be totally overwhelming because there's so much conflicting information out there. But some of the basic things that are going to be good for everyone for the most part is obviously making sure that you're getting enough water in your day. And the best way to do that is to make sure that water is the first thing that you're putting in your mouth in the morning. So for so many of us, that first thing is usually coffee or tea, or maybe it's a quick bite to eat on your way to work. But if you actually like are mindfully drinking a whole glass of water when you first wake up, it's going to rev up your metabolism. It's going to flush out your system. It's going to wake you up better than coffee will, actually. It's going to wake you up. And then you can go about your day, you know, like do your regular stuff after that. But if you get that first glass in, it's just going to totally set the tone for your day. So I like to make sure that I have a glass of water next to my nightstand on, you know, when I wake up, so that as soon as I wake up, it's like the first thing that I do is to drink some water. And then throughout the day, I typically recommend anywhere between 60 to 80 ounces of water per day. So you can get, you know, one of those cute water bottles that has the ounce markings on it, or I like to use a big mason jar myself. And I think it's like 24 ounces is the one that I have. So I know that if I drink 3 to 4 of these, I'm good today, you know, makes it a little bit easier to wrap your mind around, like, how much water should I actually be drinking? The other thing is to make sure that you are getting enough veggies in your diet. So kind of like you can never go wrong with veggies. You know, it's like sort of the more you can get, the better. But typically what I like to recommend is to make sure that you're getting a rainbow of colors when it comes to your vegetables. So, you know, it's kind of like Skittles say, like, taste the rainbow, but like, don't eat Skittles. That's not what I'm talking about. There's so many different lovely colors, and all those colors have different nutrients that they bring to the table. So, like, you know, you have your leafy greens, especially like there are different sort of tones within those greens, even that you have like the dark leafies and then you have the lighter ones. You have like the reds, like your tomatoes, your peppers. Then you have, you know, like the yellows, bananas, yellow peppers. You have eggplant for the purples. You have orange. You have like sweet potato. You know, there's so many different things. And I think like if you're making sure that you're getting a good range of fruit and veggies that are the full color spectrum, you're going to make sure that you're getting a full range of nutrients and minerals in your diet. And when you do that, it'll help keep your gut regular. It'll keep your skin clear. It'll keep your energy up, all that kind of good stuff. Another thing that I think is really important that a lot of people forget about is to make sure that you're getting enough protein and also enough healthy fats. I like so vividly remember that time in the 90s where I feel like this is still kind of going on, where everything became fat-free. Everything was fat-free. I remember having these cookies in the house. They were totally fat-free, and man, they were disgusting, but I ate them all the time because they had so much sugar in them. And that's typically what happens when you remove the fat from something. In order to make it taste like anything, they would just add a ton of sugar to it. And, you know, so even as I was eating it as a kid, I was like, oh, these are kind of gross, but like I was still like totally addicted to them because of the sugar content. The reality of the situation is that you need fat. That's one of the main building blocks of the body, along with carbs and protein. So you need those things. The main thing to remember is just watch where your fat is coming from, right? So you want to not be getting your healthy fats from your potato chips. More so, you want to be using things like coconut oil or olive oil, you know, getting enough fish in your diet or nuts and seeds. There's so many good sources. Avocado is my favorite. Making sure you're getting from these great sources. And, you know, I would definitely try to just be mindful of your fat intake, especially if you're experiencing, you know, like chronic fatigue or headaches, things like that can all be because you're not getting enough fat in your diet. And protein, too. I feel like it's so important to get protein with each meal because it's another thing that's easy to forget about. I think most of us get protein with dinner, but like breakfast so often, it's, you know, a bagel and cream cheese and you're on your way, or some cereal first thing in the morning. But if you really get that protein in there, it can really just help boost your energy for the whole day and make you not feel as hungry the rest of the day as well. So don't be afraid of fat.
I'm a fan of protein. I'm a fan of healthy fats. I'm a fan of all the foods you just talked about.
That's awesome.
I'm also a fan of every other kind of food.
I'm a fan of most food.
Yeah, I'm a fan of most food, but the thing is, though, I mean, I definitely know how to do it, and I know how much better you feel when you do everything you just talked about. Water, healthy fats, you're eating right, getting, you know, when you get moving and you start drinking water, it cleans your body out. I just want to say that in such a great way that you say you can't sit there and not see that it does that for you. If everybody today that's listening went and took a walk and drank three water bottles, go take a really great walk, drink three water bottles, wait an hour.
That's so true. And you know what's so funny is like so much of what I'm talking about is like super basic stuff, right? You're probably like, oh my God, Kate, I've heard this a million times. Like this is so basic. But sometimes you just need that reminder. And when you like put your attention on something again, like the water thing, it's so basic. And everyone tells you like, you gotta drink water. But it's not until you're actively thinking about it that you actually do it and incorporate it into your life. And like you said, once you start doing it, you feel so much better. And once you feel better, I feel like, you know, it makes it so much easier to keep up with those habits because you're like, as soon as I stop doing it, I'm going to start feeling like garbage again.
Well, yeah. And if you're keeping that food and mood journal, that's going to really help you stay on track too.
Totally. So the last thing I'll say about nutrition is to just, you know, wherever you can, just be mindful of your sugar intake. And, you know, especially if you're eating greasy processed foods, What you really want to do is try to eat as close to the source as possible, right? So the source is actually the thing that's growing out of the ground that you're picking up and eating. So it could be, you know, like raw vegetables are like as close to the source, right? But like, you know, cooking them is another great, you know, you want to be cooking things in the winter more so that you're getting those warmer foods, that kind of thing. But, you know, when things get processed more and more into, you know, crackers and then into cakes or whatever it is, like it's taking more and more of the nutrients out every step that you do. So the best way that I can describe it is when you're shopping at the grocery store, you really want to be shopping more of the outer rim of the grocery store because that's where all the refrigerated things are for the most part and the produce. And then in the inside, you don't want to be doing the aisles as much because that's where more of your processed food is going to be. And, you know, and I'm all about balance myself. Like I'm not going to tell you to stop eating whatever you're eating, but just, you know, it's something to just be mindful of that, like, the bulk of your food should be coming from the produce and the refrigerated sections of the store. Does that make sense?
No, I know. And you know what? When I first sent my husband to the store after, this is years ago, when we really first started eating clean, I sent him to the store and he came home and he goes, I can't even go to the middle of the store. I said, I know. He said, everything I needed was on the outside of the store. I said, I know. Isn't that weird? And he's like, that is weird. So he's like, there's so much we can't buy when we don't want to have processed foods.
It's so true.
It's so true. Okay. Now, Kate, I know you gave us a ton of really great resources. I just wanted to make sure before we go to the next section that there wasn't a book or anything else that you'd like to recommend.
Yeah. Well, one that I actually love about self-care is by Cheryl Richardson, and it's called The Art of Extreme Self-Care. And I love this book because Cheryl has such a great way of breaking down, first of all, the ways that women are ashamed for self-care. And then the way that the book is set up is that there are 12 chapters. It's a really quick read. So it's very small, but it's great. So 12 chapters, and each chapter is a different topic of self-care. And the idea being that once you give it a quick read through, then you pick, for each month of the year, you pick a different chapter that you'll focus on, right? So one of them I remember is like learning how to say no. So like if somebody asks you to do something that you don't want to do that isn't 100% necessary, it's like you practice actually saying no, like I don't want to do that, like I don't have time for it or whatever it is. But just knowing that that's like an aspect of self-care too. So you pick one for each month, and the idea being that a year later, you'll have all of these great self-care practices under your belt.
You know, it's really funny. At one point in my life when I didn't want to do something and people, you know, sometimes people ask you to do things that, why are they asking you to do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wow, that took a lot of nerve for you to, and I would just literally respond like this, nah. And that's it. I gave them nothing else. Okay, so we are talking about radical self-care. And this is the Motivate Me Express to Success 60-second rounds. I believe to get people to act, they need to first envision it for themselves, explore what it would take, and execute a plan. So to include radical self-care into their lives, what should they see themselves doing or feeling, or what should they envision?
I love this question. So I talk about this a lot with my clients, the idea of like goal setting, because so many women will come to me with goals like, I want to lose weight, or I want to eat healthier, or, you know, something like that. And that's a great goal, but you always want to take it a step further than that. And it's really like, you know, why do you want to lose the weight? Why do you want to eat better? And what it comes down to is how those things will make you feel, right? So how are you going to feel when you lose the weight or when you eat better? That you'll probably feel more vibrant. You'll feel more excited about your life. You'll feel more motivated at work. You'll feel happier. You'll have more energy for your kids or for whatever it is. So I always go back to that is like, how are those goals going to make you feel? So just like envision feeling great and like just jumping out of bed, feeling excited about life. Like that's sort of the image that I always end up getting to with my clients.
You know, I feel like you need to be that little annoying kid to yourself when you say, ask yourself why. It's like, but why? But
yeah,
why? But
totally why?
Okay, so to explore then, how can they look into this?
So we talked a little bit about the food journal. I think that's a great way to start to explore that. Also, just like reading up on different forms of self-care, the book by Cheryl Richardson, anything by Louise Hay. I also really am loving the book Food and Healing Just, I feel like the more that you're sort of surrounding yourself by this information, you'll just remember these are regular things that I need to be keeping up with. Because like we said, it's all really basic stuff. It's just about like putting your mind on it.
So to execute a plan then, step one.
I would say to schedule it in your calendar. Schedule in your self-care because it's just as important as any other appointment that you have in your calendar right now. It's just as important as work or doctor's appointments or, you know, getting your kids off to soccer or whatever it is. I think that it's once it's in your calendar, it feels like it's just as important as those other things. So even, you know, if you're like me, like kind of a crazy person about your Google Calendar, like at the beginning of the week, just look in and say like, all right, like each day, where can I add in a little self-care? Or even if that feels overwhelming, like once a week, like where's some time that I can do a little something just for myself that's going to make me feel good, whatever that is. If it's a nail appointment, if it's a massage, if it's a bath, if it's just reading quietly somewhere, whatever it is, whatever your self-care is.
You know, I have so many people that I have known throughout my life who are married and have kids and they don't get enough support doing everything they need to do at home, you know? And so when we talk about all of these different self-care techniques and, you know, how to kind of handle stress and how to take care of you, all of these different women pop up in my mind. So what kind of closing advice or final thoughts do you have specifically maybe for them, you know, so they can say, you know, I am worth this, or, you know, I deserve better, or I being exhausted does not mean I am a great mom.
That's so true. I love what you said too about like not getting enough support. I think that's one of the things Cheryl writes about as well, that maybe one of the chapters in her book is learning how to ask for help when you need it. And that's such a huge part of it too, is like, I think that we feel, women in particular, feel shameful if we need to ask for help because we feel like we're superwomen and we could do it all. We don't need anyone, you know, which I mean, we are superwomen and we can do it all, but we like sometimes you need a little support and that's okay. Like it's so okay to need a little help or a little support in whatever way that is. If you need someone to come help you clean your house, or if you, you know, maybe you do need a little more support with your anxiety and your stress, or you need a little support learning what to eat, like whatever it is, like don't let anyone shame you for incorporating self-care or for asking for help.
I think there's so many different reasons. I mean, I think we could talk for probably 6 months straight about why women take control of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their own histories. They have their own insecurities. They have their own relationships with their mothers. They have, you know what I mean? There's so many different scenarios of why a woman would want to have total control to the point of not reaching out for support from her husband.
For sure.
Or from family members, you know? And sometimes those husbands or those other family members want to be more included and they're being pushed out. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying to my listeners, like, take a look at your scenario. And if you're doing everything around your house all the time and you feel like you don't get support, have you asked for it? Have you allowed that person to help you without expecting them to do it exactly as you would do it? Right? Because that's kind of part of the problem sometimes. So, and how can you be more responsible for taking care of yourself and letting go more? What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, I think that's perfect. You totally hit the nail on the head.
So contact information for you, because I know you can work with anybody anywhere. So health, wellness, women.
Yeah.
Feminism. exhaustion. All sorts of great things. What's your contact information?
So the best place to find me is kateburns.com, and that's C-A-I-T, Burns is B-Y-R-N-E-S.com. And if you go to kateburns.com/freebies, that's where you'll find the free food and mood journal download as well.
Okay, great. Definitely go to Kate's site and get a copy of that. We will include a copy of it in the show notes as well. And Kate, I'd love to make you a part of our private Facebook group, which is Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, so people could reach out to you there if that sounds good to you.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of great information, a lot of great resources have been shared here with you from Kate. So Kate, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and for providing all of that.
Thank you. No, it was great.
And listeners, this is your go-do. Today,
first step, Kate?
I would say first step today, go do your 4-7-8 breath anytime you feel stressed today.
And I would like to add, go to her site and get that food and mood journal because I think that's cool. I really dig it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And that's it. That's the end of the show. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.